the Talosa Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. AirPods Pro are in my ear because I am rich, and I have Nick and Randy joining me once again today. Randy is also a rich boy. How are the glasses for you?
I'm a rich boy, too. Come on.
How are the glasses? Wait, are we talking about the AirPods or the Prada glasses that I'm wearing?
Randy also has augmented reality Apple glasses before all of us, secretly.
Take that one, John. Just... I have them, too. I'm out of here.
Yeah. He has access to them. I wanted to ask you guys about it because we haven't talked about those in a long time, mostly because – the rumors seem to go, it's coming soon, and then it doesn't come soon, and then we forget about it, and then they come back and say, they're coming soon again. Here they come, guys. So now it's looking like 2021, 2022, somewhere around there. I don't think it's been decided on, personally. I don't know what you guys think, but if some type of product launch is that far out, it's definitely not been decided. It's likely just in development, but they're not sure when they're going to be able to mass produce it or whatnot. But Randy, do you think AR glasses are going to basically, like, are they going to be kind of the first of their kind, or are they going to be sort of one of the few things Apple kind of gets to before everybody else?
If they get to it before everybody else, then what do you mean by one of a kind?
As in, like, are other companies going to try to beat Apple to this punch? Like, is Samsung or Google going to revive Google Glass, or Microsoft make HoloLens sleeker or smaller or something? Or do you think this is going to be kind of new territory for Apple?
I think this is going to be new territory because the distinct differentiating factor of Apple's augmented reality device, what Google Glass was trying to be and what – whether it's Oculus or anybody else that plays in VR or anything like that, is that it is my belief, and you know, we're all speculating right now, but it's my belief that Apple will make the glasses be an extension to iOS the same way watchOS is. So it's a wearable that supports what you already have with you with inside the ecosystem, and you can't have a third party interact that way. You could, and it would be very, very crutched and limited and handicapped on with the whole thing. This will be something very specific to Apple's niche. It's going to be something that's meant to enhance the ecosystem as it is known today, and it will give you things that only Apple can make. And so if somebody else tries to – if Snapchat – goggles or whatever those were called
– spectacles.
That were compatible with it. It would do one function, which would record while you're walking and then upload to something, and that would be it. To whereas I could see this giving you Memojis, or I think we joked about it last episode, where it blurs out people who are androids or anything like that.
It just makes them green. It just turns them like key green.
Their whole body green.
I do think that this will be something that only Apple can accomplished because they have a very specific motive for this. Tim Cook has been pushing this for a long time for a reason. And yes, I do believe there's some element of gaming involved, and I believe that there's also some element of enhanced support if you need guidance for, like, I don't know, map. You're driving and you have like map directions shoot out on the lenses here, and then it's doing that, or you know, fitness.
That might be a too futuristic of a problem, because by the time AR glasses come out, full self-driving will be starting to become mainstream.
Do you think it's going to be that long?
Well, I mean, it won't be. Full self-driving won't be in everyone's capability. It'll be probably a wrong podcast. But
yeah, right. I was going to say, this is dangerously close to electric vehicle content.
It's like providing a speedometer to a horse and buggy. You know, it's like, oh, I can see how fast I'm going, but why are we using a horse? But what do you think, Nick?
I think that just like the Apple Watch, Apple's going to wait until other people play around in the market and kind of discover what works best. I think Google's, you know, already tried Google Glass. Microsoft has their HoloGlass. Snapchat has their spectacles. But at the end of the day,
spectacles
Apple...
spectacles aren't AR glasses, for
yeah,
the record.
But they're face-mounted technology. And there's tons of... there's tons of, you know, startups, and there's a few people that you can actually, like, go to a store and get your laser fitted for it or whatever. And, you know, they're starting to be out there. But Apple's going to wait until basically the Pebble is available on glasses. So if you remember back to the Pebble Watch was the first mainstream smartwatch. I guess the Fitbit, but that was kind of like mostly a fitness tracker. But the Pebble was the first smartwatch. And Apple waited until the Pebble came out and gave that a couple years to kind of grow into itself. And then Apple was like, okay, here's this idea. This is how people are using it. How can we make this 300% better? And then they did that with the original Apple Watch. And, you know, now they're basically the only smartwatch that matters, just like they're the only iPad tablet company that matters.
Can I add a caveat to that, Mr. Answeeny?
Yes, sir.
I understand why you think they want to wait to see what happens, but a lot of stuff that the first gen Apple Watch was promoting has ceased to exist, like the group chat or the using the let me send you my heartbeat and stuff like that. They're gimmick by nature.
I send you
nature.
My heartbeat every morning, Randy.
That's why I don't wear my watch at night anymore. That's exactly why I don't.
I wonder. was there a Wear OS, or I guess back there it was Android Wear. Back then it was Android Wear. Was there an option to view your phone camera from the watch back then, or was that an Apple Watch thing? I can't remember.
I first remember.
I never
about it on
cared
Apple
to
Watch.
Learn that.
We never looked into it, and we'll still never know. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. So they'll wait a little bit. I don't think they're going to wait until HoloLens has its final iteration or whatever. But I think they're waiting. Apple's always about waiting. Hmm. They wait until everyone else tries their hand at smartphones or watches or tablets. And then they come in with the perfect solution. So I would say, 2022 is optimistic.
Wow.
2022, my goodness.
We got a
while. We were supposed to have this 2016. We were talking about Apple glasses for sure coming in 2020. So
Right. It's perfect marketing that's like, oh, Apple's vision's 2020. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
They're going to make that joke at least once on Dub stage this
they
year.
Are 100%. I am so adamant that they are going to announce it this year, not because the leaks or whatever else is floating around out there. I think they're going to announce it
like
this
with the
year.
iPhone.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll have the introduction this
You're
year
assuming
the
that we're
way.
Gonna have an iPhone this year, Randy. That's too much to assume.
No, but you know how like they introduced the first iPhone basically a year prior, and then they started shipping it later.
January to June of 2007.
Yeah, that's a long time. Think about that for a second. It feels like we've been in quarantine for like 5 years. It's only been 2 months. But anyway, but my point is that we're gonna get the introduction of it nowish as in next month, and they'll say shipment pre-orders will start at the end of the year, and then we'll probably see something start to – I would parallel it to very similar to what we saw with Apple Watch, but maybe longer turnaround, even more so now because of the fact that there's a lot of manufacturing delays and production assembly line delays and stuff like that and getting everything up and running. I expect there to be a longer delay, but just for – the sake of saying we've been busy and it's good PR. Is it necessary? No. You could have another AirPod or AirPower example happen, but I think they've put so much time into this that it's to the point where like we are ready to show you what this is, and you'll be getting it next year. Mac Pro, iMac Pro, Apple Watch, things that are actual products, but
HomePod.
Took some time. HomePod.
It took 9 months, I think.
Apple services. I mean, they'll announce it when it's basically there and they have enough internal testing, and then we'll see it next year. But I think I think the ball will start rolling now.
They kind of did that same thing with AirPower, though. And we know how cautious Apple now is about pre-announcing a product before it's ready.
But that's not really... AirPower
didn't need development ahead of time from like the third-party
evidently
end, whereas
it did.
Something like... Well, third parties wouldn't have anything to do with AirPower, but I just mean like the Apple Watch, the Apple glasses would need some type of heads up to developers of here's what we want you to get ready for. Here's things we want to port over to this platform. So we're going to warn you about it now ahead of time. But
that's all very fair, but I would say the earliest that would ever happen is 2021. Dub Dub 2021 next year, and likely 2022.
More believable.
I think I don't know what Randy's drinking over there, but I think it's not water.
I'm drinking the apple
juice. Apple juice. To answer my own question, I think that AR glasses are going to have a lead over what third parties will be able to achieve for a multitude of reasons because of Apple's CPU architecture team and what they've been able to develop for the iPhone and the iPads and keeping them so far ahead of competitors between not with the glasses. I think the biggest debate, the biggest holdup is likely power efficiency. I have complete belief that they have figured out ways to display visuals over our eyes. And now seeing how they're playing around with LiDAR, I think there's going to be some type of fashionable way they're going to put LiDAR sensors on the outward facing part of the glasses so that they can motion track. And me and Nick were playing around, I think it was last week, with the AR demo on your iPad Pro.
Oh, yeah. A couple weeks ago.
With the Apple Watch.
Uh-huh.
And that you made a tweet about that, like tracking it in real time and how you were able to stick your hand through it and just... The noticeable difference of LiDAR on the iPad with AR demos and stuff. While it may not seem like a great selling point for a tablet, I think it will be key to the selling point of augmented reality glasses. And Apple, I think, is going to have more data and more training of their code of this than anyone. And I think that the AR glasses are going to require an iPhone, and the iPhone's going to be doing some of the heavy lifting of the rendering and the processing. And to the point that I think for AR glasses to work, you'll probably need a somewhat recent iPhone. I think it will be even more power intensive than the Apple Watch. You know, Apple Watch required a certain generation of iPhone.
I believe the Apple Watch only supported iPhone 5 and forward. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That was like you needed a 5 or up. Phones?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think AR glasses are going to be more demanding than that even. I think they'll require an iPhone 12 or better. They're going to require a 14 chip or up. And if it's like, I don't think the iPhone 11s we're rocking today are going to be capable of supporting AR glasses when they launch.
I thought Apple Watch needed an iPhone that had the 64-bit architecture, not 32, which iPhone
Series
5 was 32.
Two or
it started
series...
with the 5, I think.
Yeah, it started with the 5 because I had one going on a 5C for a while. And those are the same specs.
Oh, was it? I thought five. Oh, yeah. Well, they discontinued so quickly. I would have loved to see how that was progressed. But
only the first gen Apple Watch supported the iPhone 5. Everything after that supported something newer. And I think, doesn't the Series 4 require like an iPhone 6 or better or something?
I think it started with LTE on the Series 3. You had to have a 6 or better.
Right. So I think the glasses are going to require even more help than the watch will, just because the rendering and the
iPhone
image processing.
iPhone 12 Pro Max or newer.
I think the CPU should be the same on all the iPhones this year, so probably won't require.
No, we'll get an A14Z chip on the
next one. Right. Well, I think the use cases of the AR glasses are kind of endless once you get it down, but it will definitely something I think it's definitely going to be something I think most people are going to hate at first. I think this is going to get a whole lot of bashing and a whole lot of criticism when it first launches because it's the perfect storm for another classic Apple introduction of the future that everyone thinks is stupid, and then we all come to use it.
I need my headphone jack.
AirPods, which were memed and hated when they first launched, became the next big thing. Apple Watch was also heavily hated and criticized, and everyone said, you know, Apple's dead without Steve Jobs. Look at the Apple Watch. It's a joke. It's stupid. Became the most popular watch in the world. This one, even more so than those, has the potential to be so heavily criticized because I think it'll be well over $1,000. In fact, I think $2,000 should be expected at this point because of how much AR headwear costs outside of Apple, like things like the HoloLens and things like Google Glass was $1,800, I believe, when it launched. And that's not even doing what Apple glasses are supposed to be capable of. So this is not going to be a cheap, nice little iPhone accessory you can buy for your mom on Christmas. You know, this is going to be a huge pro and luxury segment, at first at least, until they figure out a way to make it cheaper. But I think everyone's going to think it's too expensive at first, and it'll probably not have great battery, and the visuals will be low refresh rate, and you know, or
that's going to drive you nuts, Drew. It'll be 24 FPS, and you're just going to be sitting there twitching.
Yeah, it's not lifelike enough. Yeah, it'll throw everyone off at first, and they'll be like, I think a lot of the Apple community will see it and think there's a ton of potential here, but there's also a ton of room for improvement. Like, the first generation is not going to nail it out the door. It's going to be really, really rough at first.
And we're still going to buy it.
I'll buy it, yeah.
So I was just looking it up right now. A normal pair of, like, luxury brand glasses, regular eyewear glasses.
You're doing the Steve Jobs thing.
With a regular pair of glasses, you'll spend this much. And with a VR glasses, you'll spend this much.
Together, I'm pretty sure that's not his voice.
For slightly less.
No, Steve's voice is more of a, when we were really, what was that?
Randy.
Now I'm all insecure. I don't want to try to do his voice. I almost went to Bill Gates. Well, you know, Steve. So, anyway, now I'm going to do Randy's voice. A normal pair of glasses, like a luxury product glasses, could go somewhere between the price of $500 to $2,000 easy, just for having the name on the frames, and they go as high as I see $6,600. I see $4,500. So, if Apple wanted to be that guy, they would 100% be like, "Well, you know, all these other ones cost thousands of dollars, and you're looking upwards of $3,000. We're going to sell to you for $29.95. You're welcome." And they'll be like, "And if we will price it in comparison to these other glasses, but now you get everything that, as a bonus that comes with it." And I could see it pricing maybe about $2,500. I'd give it first gen.
Oof. Yeah. Would either of you buy it if it was $2,500?
I don't think so. Like, the tech and the Apple sheep in me says yes, but
what about to review? Just buy it for a week and then.
If I buy it for a week, I'm gonna be keeping it. Like, I know it's gonna be good.
I probably would review it. I would probably buy it for a week, review it, or I would probably hold on to it maybe a little bit longer and sell it third party and get some of my cash back on it. I don't know.
Maybe they'll have a finance option for the Apple Card.
Oh God!
We'll let you pay it off over 24 months,
24 years.
No. I hate financing. I absolutely.
I know. I wouldn't do it either.
I don't think I could. In good conscience, I don't think I could drop $2,500. I don't think I could drop $1,500 on glasses. Just for the tech, it's. I absolutely would love to try it out, but I just. I don't know. There's something that tells me that's not economically smart to do as a first gen product. Not until, like you were saying. You know, let it fine tune itself, brush off the rough edges a bit, and get some use case data in there, and then second gen or third gen going forward, it's a more refined product. I would definitely back the enhanced version of whatever the first gen would be, because then it'd be like, okay, now we have enough aggregated data that tells you what it's actually being focused on, and then they'll really improve it. As a first gen, where we're all just beta testing it, every first gen product, we're all just beta testers. I don't think I would want to pay that much to become a beta tester. I would rather, let the Marques Brownlees of the world do what they got to do to feedback and stuff like that. But to review for a week, I don't think I would have a problem with it. I just, in good conscience, I don't think I could drop the type of money like that. I wouldn't do it.
Let's be honest, Apple's not stupid.
Right.
And if even people like yourselves, which are likely, you know, the target demographic of this type of accessory, are not willing to spend that kind of money.
People who are wearing glasses.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke. Like, why? Because I'm blind?
Yeah.
People like yourselves. What does that mean? I took
Apple them enthusiasts, people that watch the keynotes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if you guys aren't sold on it, then there's definitely not going to be many average consumers that are sold on it. So I think it's possible they might not want to release it until they can get it to a price point that would justify it for someone in your guys' demographic. So yeah. There's, yeah, I think, a chance that maybe they want to hold off on launching it until they can find a way to get it under 2,000. Maybe they could justify it at 1,500 if the use cases are good enough. You know, if it allows you to add these little hologram widgets around your phone or your watch, or I've seen endless concepts of, you know, external monitors on your Mac, or widgets popping out on anything you can imagine. Just there's so much potential there. If they nail the feature set right, I could see them justifying it at sub $2,000, even if a lot of people just say their glasses, who cares, you know, too expensive. But this is uncharted territory for them. They're not really sure. There's not much of a market for it in the first place, and there's not there's not really a current, you know, standard that people are like, well, this is how much AR glasses typically cost, because it's not an average everyday consumer thing. And I don't think Apple's going to launch them as just a developer thing. I don't think they're going to launch them just catered for developers. This is full-on going to be partnered in the wearables category, so that they can say wearables are doing great, even if AR glasses are a tiny sliver of wearables.
Hang on, Drew. I don't want to. Are you mentioning developer because I said beta testing?
No. I'm not saying that. I just mean they're.
I was
not
making an example. Sorry. I just want to make sure I didn't.
No,
confuse.
It's fine. They're not going to do the Microsoft HoloLens, is what I mean. They're not going to make something that's just for app developers to use. I'm pretty confident these AR glasses are meant to be for consumers. They're meant for everyday people that happen to have lots of money.
Two questions for you guys. In any order. Two questions. I'm going to ask them both, and then you guys have at it. First question is, do you think they would make them compatible with people who have prescriptions that they can swap out the lenses, so therefore you can actually wear them?
Absolutely.
They have to do
have
that.
All that. Okay, so there's that one. Second one is,
they have to.
Do you feel like when data's presented on the little screens and your eyes can see them, My issue, I'm not going to ask in the form of a question, but you'll know where my question lies. My issue is, what if I look at it and I see whatever the data is presented in front of me, and my eyes start to focus on that, and then it adjusts, and so it blurs out everything around me, and now I'm not really focusing on my environment, I'm focused on the data. I can see that problematic, that like, I'm looking and everything just kind of like blurs out surrounding. What are your thoughts on that?
Like with driving?
What do you mean, like with driving?
Like, why would that be a problem?
Okay, walking
down. Concerned about
walking down the street. Okay, well,
in any use case, you're like you're more fixing. It's the visual. It's the eye elements of the same thing as people walking around their phone and they're bumping into people because they're not looking. They're not actually paying attention to their environment because they're so fixated on whatever's on their little screen. You move that to your eyes, and now you're more fixated on the data that's in front of you. That you're still, instead of not bumping into people because you can't see them, instead of that, you have everything just kind of blurs out. You know, your eyes focus, and so when it readjusts, it just there you go. Yeah.
So you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many details you can pick up on if your mind is still paying attention to the blurriness, even though your eyes are focused on the data. You know, just walking down the street or whatever, looking at my phone. You know, I might be scrolling through Twitter or picking a podcast to listen to. The Talos of podcasts are obviously the best. But in my back of my mind, though, even though I'm focused on my phone walking through the street, my brain is still focused on the blurry part, if that makes any sense.
Peripheral.
My peripheral. Thank you, Drew, for the big words. The peripheral vision is still a focus of my consciousness. So I don't think it'll be a big problem. Any more of a problem than smartphones are currently. Maybe a little bit more invasive because you're going to be looking at it a little bit more frequently.
You shouldn't be on your phone when you're driving.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure there's going to be a do not disturb while
driving.
If you
get a text message while you're driving and it's Nick trying to explain why he thinks the Taylor Swift Food podcast should blow up quicker, and I'm more focused on reading that than driving, that's problematic.
Yeah, but that's why you have a Tesla
iPhone
with
already,
autopilot.
Yeah.
Check and mate.
iPhone is already capable of detecting when it's in a car. Like when I...
Exactly.
When I got my new SE, it was like, turn on do not disturb while driving. And obviously, I was like, ignore. But with the AR glasses, they could probably lock that down so it's not optional because, you know, it's got LiDAR. It's going to have cameras on it of some kind. It'll probably be able to detect if you're in a vehicle and just be like, okay, do not show too many visuals on the display at the same time. But, I think a lot of the visuals it will showcase will be dependent on if there's a device present. It will show holograms or pop-ups if you're using an iPad or an iPhone or your watch. So it's not going to be covering that much of your vision at the same time. And to answer your question about focusing on something and blurring reality, I think that the whole goal of putting it on your eyesight is going to be trying to merge the two as much as possible. I don't think it's really going to be that easy or simple to focus on just what the glasses are displaying and not focus on reality, because they're going to try to make it one and the same. It'll be like, if you're not focused on what's in front of you, then you're not going to be able to see the visuals. They're going to merge it, so you have to see both. And it's not going to be, if you try to focus on just the visuals, then you won't see anything. It'll, you know, you'll just be cross-eyed.
So I'm hoping that's the case. There are times when we can trick our eyes. If you like go up to like one of those tables that have like the fence holes, and you kind of, I used to do this where I put my hands and I look at it, and then I psych out my eyes about what it's focusing on. And I only bring that up because like my fear is that like, because it's so small and the same concept that like, what if your eyes can't differentiate between something that's supposed to blend into the environment to whereas something that's like right in front of you, even if it's so small, it obviously has to be so fine tuned. So it's only going to be like half an inch away from your eyeballs. Like it has to be so fine tuned that you can see the data and only you can see the information. And likewise, it doesn't mess with your not your pupil, but the I'm no eye dog, I don't know, but the part where it needs to start like adjusting and looking like cornea. It's just right there enough, like okay, it's right there. But
cornea,
I agree with you
in the cornea,
huh?
cornea,
thank you, Nick, nerd. I'm just kidding, but
let
anyway,
the record
so
show, I was not the one to deafen the audience this episode. That was you, Randy.
Oh, whatever. Don't worry. I'm gonna compress my audio so I sound great and you sound like crap. So, notice they never complain about my audio. They only complain about yours. That's because I've been sabotaging you for years, baby. Nick sounds terrible. Yep, you're welcome. No one ever complains about Drew.
Eventually.
He's perfect.
I'll start yelling at some point.
At some point. Well, we got to get you on a rant.
Oh, hello there. Sorry, I didn't see you there. I was just working on my latest project. It's a small simulation of the entire world, and so far it's going pretty well. I'm really thankful that you took the red pill, because if you didn't, I wouldn't be able to talk to you right now. This is the real world. What you were just watching was only a simulation. Now, Morpheus told me that I should take this time to tell you about a brand new podcast called The Waveform Podcast by Marques Brownlee. But unfortunately, I believe that that podcast is a little bit too mainstream for this show. So we're going to go with something a little bit more intriguing. It's called Hacked, the coolest podcast that I have in my subscription library that I listen to very amazingly. It's a fantastic podcast that talks all about how technology that has been moving towards the mainstream and out of the hacking realms affects your daily life. If you've ever been curious how internet ads play a role in how malicious advertising works, and something that's called Malvertising by the In Club, you should definitely listen to Jordan and Scott's podcast. It's the latest episode on Hacked. It's linked in the description below. I really hope you appreciate, enjoy it. If you haven't listened to it, you have to. It's stupid if you don't. Now, I'm going to send you back to the Matrix right now. Thank you.
So, Drew, tell me about the Samsung Galaxy Fold 2 with its amazingly useful aspect ratios.
Yeah. that we've probably asked ourselves that question before, but if I was in charge of designing a foldable phone, and it had to be a foldable, and there was no way around that, I would basically just make a 12 Pro Max or 11 Pro Max or whatever when folded up, and then when unfolded, a little iPad mini of some sort. But what they have done is some kind of weird TV remote style, and they seem to be embracing that, and they don't want to switch into other aspect ratios. But if you're combining a phone and a tablet into one, I would want it to be good at both, not bad at both. So, yeah, that's beating a dead horse on that subject.
It's almost like you made a whole video about it a couple times.
Maybe. No one saw it.
No, I didn't.
I still don't think they're going to... I still don't think Apple's going to do one, though.
No.
If they do, they would probably have the best one, just because they nailed iPadOS and iOS and all that, but I still don't see that.
And it wouldn't be very Apple sheep of you if you were like, it's going to be crap.
Anyone who says, well, if there was an Apple logo on it, you would love it. I refer you back to the Mac Pro and the Pro Display. I will not.
That's because you haven't
seen
it in person. Nick and I were like, ooh, yep. This is good.
They changed our minds. We're supposed to do that.
I am not convinced.
March.
I don't want to talk about it.
We're coming up on a year since they unveiled that, and I still haven't seen one in person.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's sad for you.
I haven't seen a Model Y in person. I know, different podcast, but point still proven.
Yeah, but they launched that more recently. I mean, like, the Mac Pro launched in December?
Yep.
So, and it sounds like I might still not see one until next year or something like that. I'm trying to think of a time when I'll be able to go to, because not all Apple stores have them, right?
No.
No. Ours, the only one that we have here that showed it was the most, the busiest Apple store.
The biggest one.
It's not the biggest one, but it is the most busiest one in San Diego County. So they made a logistical decision to be like, all right, well, wherever we get the most foot traffic, we're going to put that one there. So they did.
Because I don't have my nearest Apple store is not that big. It's kind of one of the, you know, smaller sized ones. And it did, the last time I went there, it did not have it. So I assume it won't be a while that I'll see one. Some people have said I should just buy one and send it back, but I don't even want to give it that much attention.
What if the UPS guy dropped it on the way back and Apple's like, I'm sorry, but you sent us back a cracked monitor. We're not going to give your money
too
back.
Too much room for error on that one.
Exactly.
$6,000 on a monitor. No, thank you. But no, I will not defend them for anything. The iPod Touch.
None of your Macs would plug into a Pro Display XDR, would they?
iMac Pro would, but it would not be 6K.
Oh,
it would
well,
be
what's the point?
At 5K.
That's disgusting.
Which says a lot about how little they've updated the iMac Pro, the fact that it still cannot support that external monitor.
It's almost like you made a video about that, too. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Welcome back to the recap of Taylor's Tech videos this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of things I haven't made a video on, how have your guys' battery lives been with the Magic Keyboard case?
Man, I made a tweet about this because I was like, okay, one person said it, nothing. All right, fine, it is what it is. Oh, two people are saying it. When all these verified check marks, I love you guys, but come on now. Every single person's like, yep, me too, yep, me too, yep, me too. It's like, wait, what's going on? And I looked into mine. I have the exact same battery as I did
me too.
2 years ago. I'm fine. And I also put as a reference, and I was like, I'm using the 12.9 2018 model with it. And so this is – I just want to report out there that I'm not affected by this, whatever it is, which seems weird because normally if there's a mainstream issue, I seem to get lucky enough to be lumped in the mainstream problem. But I was like, no, I don't even know what people are talking about. This keyboard has been amazing. Battery, you name it, I wish I had it sooner, you know? And we got it as soon as we could, and I wish it came sooner. But I'm completely unaffected by it.
How's yours, Nick?
I wish I could say the same. It's not terrible. Like, I haven't tweeted about it because it's not that big of a deal, honestly. And I don't really understand what some of these people are talking about. But it's slightly noticeable. And I originally thought it was the new iPad that was not as great battery life as the old iPad. But I do notice about 10% an hour just sitting on the home screen of battery loss, whereas the old one would do about 5 to 7% an hour of battery loss just sitting on the home screen. So at first I thought, you know, the iPad Pro was indexing and it, you know, had a terabyte of things to index. So, you know, maybe it's doing that in the background. But the more I've gotten used to it, it is noticeable how the old iPad is a lot a lot more stable. And part of the thing is I switch between the cases a lot. Like, I don't have it right here, but I still have my old one, and I'll use my mm-hmm. old one with the new one, you know, about 50% of the time. And likewise with the
that camera cutout thing,
it looks bad, but I don't see it that bad. I'm not using it in that direction. But for, you know, for the shows, it all matches. That's the important part. But
that used to bother you a lot.
It does. It still does bother me because okay. right now I can say mine matches and your guys's don't. But, you know, sitting in my dark room, I don't really care all that much. It's just for
if the boot being on the fits.
It does fit. So I don't know. It might be my iPad. Might be the keyboard. I don't know. But it's not that big of a deal. So I'm not going to complain about it too much. But I have noticed something.
So it must not be that bad.
No, it's not terrible.
Upset about it. What people were complaining about seemed like very, very fast battery drain when using it with the keyboard case, which makes me think it must be a software problem, if not everyone's experiencing it. Or the only recurring theme I notice with all these complaints is it could be the 2018 iPad Pros do not have this problem. So me and Randy are in the clear.
I should have tested this out. I could probably do a double blind test here.
Yeah, see if there's a battery difference when using.
That would require
maybe
me
the
to...
A12Z chip is less power efficient or something. Like,
maybe A12X the even though you're not better. Using the camera, the LiDAR is doing stuff in the background or something that's draining it. Something.
Some LiDAR is being used. Yeah, I think that'd be funny if that was the solution. Well, you got to get the old one. But I've noticed checking the Apple Store app, the 2018 iPad Pro certified refurbished. Is always sold out. They don't have any of them. Anytime I check, they're always sold out. Like, they're running. If I see one, it's not for very long. It's like within the hour, it's gone. So I think everybody is just picking up on the certified refurbished train that I've instigated on the audience and just been like,
it's hey, not an episode group. Until you mention it.
It's basically new in the 2018 iPad Pros are real cheap. So everyone's buying those things up. As soon as they are available for refurbished, they're gone like that. So.
Speaking,
maybe the 2020 will do okay.
Speaking of guys, I know I got chewed out last time not consulting my two Apple Sheep Council people on purchases and sales.
Of course,
I'm considering selling my old iPad Pro, which I'm currently using to FaceTime you guys. Thoughts on a good price point / is it worth it to sell because it's kind of bent?
The bent one is there no way of fixing the bendness?
I mean, I guess if I'm going to be giving it up, I could try unbending it, but that's been...
Put some textbooks on it?
Yeah, something down. Like that. I don't know.
I could see. I would try something.
There's still scuffs and around it.
Why are you selling it?
I'm I don't need it.
No need for two I know, iPad Pros?
That didn't stop you a month ago.
It didn't, but because I didn't really know how useful or not useful it would be, I thought it'd be a little bit more useful to have two. Right now, this is probably the only time in the week where I'm actually using two iPads at once. And at the end of the day, I'm not really using this iPad right now. It's just here for show. The old one's doing the FaceTime call right now.
You're so eccentric, Nick.
Some would say space eccentric.
With your current situation, I imagine you'd have a hard time selling it for anything over 500.
That's so what I'm thinking. So at that point, though, do I just
feel like
it?
You could, if you feel like you could use 450 or 400 bucks for something useful compared to what you're using your old iPad Pro for now, then I would say sell it. But personally, if I was in your situation, I don't think I would sell it because I don't know your exact situation, but 400. Really? 400 to 450 bucks doesn't seem like it would make that big a difference in your life. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you could use that money on something that would be super noteworthy.
My Cybertruck.
Process of, yeah, you could reserve four more Cybertrucks or something like that. But I couldn't do much with $400 that you're. I mean, I can't think of something. What do you think you would do with that money? Just save it or?
I don't know. I'm just thinking of the depreciation curve. Like, now's the time to sell it if there's any time to sell it, right? Like, it's not in great condition, so it's not going to ever get a good price. But right now, the market seems to be real excited about the third-gen iPad Pros because they're kind of seen as a good deal. And
yeah,
it might be a good time to sell. So if I don't sell it now, I'm probably going to keep it till it dies.
What's the lowest you're willing to sell it for?
Honestly, the lowest I'd like to see out of it is like $500 or $600. I don't think I'm gonna get that price.
Just hold on to it. Be neurotic and just stay neurotic. Keep your stuff.
But Randy was just making fun of me 2 minutes ago. I can't
stay neurotic.
you're very neurotic and eccentric with this whole thing. So you might
neurotic.
As well just.
My name is Joe Exotic, not neurotic.
I think you've damaged it in such a way, and it's also a
that you'll never financially recover from this.
Yeah. Isn't it the cellular model?
Yeah, it is the cellular model.
Yeah, that doesn't help because people buying used are on a budget typically. I'm asking because that helps me decide whether or not it's worth selling.
It was originally $1,100.
And you're like, right, but you're like, I should sell it for more because it's cellular, but people buying used don't care about cellular or not. They're just looking for cheap iPads. So if the least you're looking to get out of it is like $600, then you could try to sell it, but I don't think anyone would pay that much for it. Maybe they'd surprise me. I don't know. I'm just thinking I wouldn't buy that.
I wouldn't buy it for – I wouldn't want to charge like my grandma more than $400 for this bent piece of
junk.
But
if you ask me, I would just say keep it as a device like this, as a prop iPad or a FaceTime iPad just for occasional other stuff because if you sold it, what would you do with the money? Just hang on to it or for savings?
I don't know. I don't have any purpose for the money. I don't need the money.
Then don't sell.
But at the same time, though, like it's going to be depreciation. It's the opportunity cost is depreciation. Like if
I know,
now,
but then that means
depreciation has already happened.
Yeah, I would say, Nick, if you're buying an iPad in hopes of some type of depreciating value, that you buy with the intent of keeping, and if you can ever sell it, cool. But don't let the depreciating factor, don't let the value of what you think it's worth outside of for you be a driving factor of you holding on to it or not if you don't need the money. If it's like, oh, yeah, but it's not like you're buying silver or gold. It's more valuable. Obviously.
It's a space gray one, not gold.
It's
iPad is more valuable.
It's more valuable. Clearly, I mean, that part's not for debate, but, you know.
I have it as a stock in my stocks app, iPad Pro 2018 resale value.
It's been going like this. It's just climbing.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, if there's any time to sell it, it's now. And I think if I don't sell it in the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to keep it. And you're right, Randy. When I bought it, I bought it to keep it. Like, I wasn't thinking of the resale value. When I bought this new one, it's not to resell it. Like, I'm planning on keeping this for lots of years. But
now isn't that crucial because the 2020 iPad Pros are out. They don't sell the 2018s anymore. So it's not like they're going to get substantially cheaper in the next 6 months, the 2018 models.
Right.
I think they'll stay around where they are now for many, many months. So I don't think it's, like, that crucial to sell now. But you have a lot of time to make up your mind, I think. So I think a lot of people are buying the 2018s because visually from the outside, it's almost identical to the 2020. Yeah. So they can save a ton of money that way. But if this one's bent and it's got screen issues and scuffs, then the bulk of the depreciation's already happened.
This was before Drew and I got to him, ladies and gentlemen. We can't save him from it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I talked over you.
This could see how low you can sell it for.
You have to pay people to take it off your hands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it that bad?
Or you could give it to Apple. That's a win for the environment, too.
Yay. Get $200 worth of Apple Store cards. I think it's $450.
Is there
a
trade-in value?
Yeah. I looked a while ago.
Oh, man. I would do that at that point. That would be easier.
It's easier, but $450 is not enough to get me off the couch.
Mm.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at me. My name's Nick. I don't move for anything less than $500.
Come on. You know
that
what I mean.
That would be a good
you
know $450 off of the next
Apple product. If this iPad
doesn't
pay for my Amex Platinum, I'm not selling it.
Randy.
There you go. It could cover the Amex fee.
That's not what I meant. That. Come on, guys.
What about $450 off of
a Pro Display XDR?
Your next
oh,
Apple
I am
purchases.
Sold. I am sold.
Yeah, that'd be good. Or just the stand.
Or you could just put half down on the stand. Yeah, for sure. Not even half down.
Half
$450.
Down. Half down.
I kind of want to get half of the iPad or iMac stand.
They send you half of the stand. They cut it in half.
down the middle, that, so it's just not, it's lopsided.
Hi, can I get 3/4 of the wheels, please?
Yeah. You could get that. So, something that you could get for $450, AirPods Studio, which should be launching next month.
Ooh.
Which, it's kind of a mystery item. Out of all the things we know they're working on that are coming soon, this one we know very little about. We know that not that little about the design or the feature set, other than it's supposedly somewhat modular, which is interesting. And the modularity of it makes me hope that it's going to be more of a Mac accessory than an iPhone accessory. But, like, how do you think the AirPods Studio should charge?
The same way you charge the Apple Pencil in your watch.
What?
What?
Wireless, you have to plug it onto
the side some of type your of iPad? Magnetic charger?
Oh, yeah, no, not on the iPad. What I'm saying is the same way, like,
listening to music.
Magnetic, click, boom, charge, wireless. Okay. If their whole shtick is wireless, then kill the port. Make it that niche. Courageous about it, if you will.
Okay, so an inductive form of some kind.
I would say.
The way that they charge inductively the Apple Pencil and the Apple Watch is probably my favorite version of wireless charging, because you don't have to align it. That's part of the problem with a Qi coil. Like, it's your job to figure out where it is. Because
you don't have to touch a wire. That's the point.
Well, you don't have to touch a wire is kind of given if you're inductively charging. But when you're
not an Apple Watch.
Well, I use this little dock here that has it all mounted together, so I don't have to touch a wire.
You
still have to align it laterally. And with the Apple Pencil, it just kind of goes... just clicks right on. That's real convenient.
No, I take back what I said. It should charge the same way... just because Nick agreed. No, I'm just kidding. I just thought about it. The three prongs that are on the iPad Pro.
I'm hurt, Randy.
Put that.
I'm hurt.
Have the magnetic. No, I had a
revelation
never gonna about.
I'm going to emotionally recover from this.
Oh, no. I think put a magnetic like ring around the same way you do the iPad, and then have the three prongs the same way. Click to it, and it charges that way. So I was thinking about the way the pencil or the watch charges, but
the
idea of having
the magic keyboard.
The iPad with the magic keyboard. Use that. Something that involves what I really want, I think what I didn't even realize this until now, I'm secretly looking for MagSafe to come back in some form.
Yes.
And we've been getting it in all these other forms.
Everyone talking about MagSafe again?
Shut up, Drew! I'm talking about it! Because no,
everyone
I'm not saying
wants MagSafe. To
I
come
don't.
Back.
I don't want it for the MacBook. I like the USB-C Thunderbolt format. I don't want it to come back to MacBook. I don't want it for power like pro products like that. But I do want it for the accessories. The same way we're kind of getting it for the pencil, the watch, the iPad Pro when you put it to the keyboard. I like the idea of things just like. Going right there. It was good for its time on the MacBook. You have better use cases with Thunderbolt USB-C. I don't disagree with that, and I've let that go. I just want that concept to be implemented more across the board. Put it on the cases, you know. Have it go. Have it click on the case, and it's like a hub. Imagine a hub, okay? A universal hub that you can just. Click your wireless devices that are capable of wireless charging, goes to that hub, and it just powers it that way. Headphones, soon to be AirPods, the watch, the pencil, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't expect to disagree with this on you guys. I think there should be a fully fledged USB-C port that supports data pass through and charging
USB-C?
If you want.
Then get beat!
Yes. That's what these are. These are Beats killers.
I'm going.
The Apple Watch
Bears Beats Battlestar Galactica.
But the Apple Watch doesn't have any kind of port, and that's the magic of the Apple Watch. It's wirelessly charged with a magnet. And I think if they had like a little puck that had more, you know, connecting magnets, and you could click it to, like, you know, the Beats over ears, they have the little Beats circle logo. If that could just have magnets and an inductive charger, and you just lift it up and it goes, and just connects right onto the center of that circle, mm-hmm. and it was stable enough so it wasn't going to fall off with you doing some headbanging, that would be pretty cool.
I feel like that would kill the whole idea of having a way for it to, like, sit on a stand, though. Like a...
Does it have like to sit on a stand?
Something you can rest it on. I would be nice.
Well,
it's $350 bucks.
You can buy the Apple Pro Display XDR stand and run your
Never
wire
mind.
Through
I
it.
Shouldn't do a stand. Never mind. Kill the stand idea. No more stands from Apple. We've had enough. So... I don't.
They should have a stand that you could put your stands on, so you could choose which stand you want to use. And I will stand
like Apple
with that
Watch.
Stand.
Okay. With the Apple Watch, it's small enough that we can make little accessories that it can rest on sideways or
cheaply,
flat, and cheaply, bigly cheaply.
Okay.
Excuse
folks,
me.
Quite frankly.
But
okay, folks, if we have fulfilled all of our requirements. Drew has mentioned refurbished store. Randy has done a Trump emoji impression. We're done today. Thanks.
We are classic tech podcast. But if it's a over ear like you described and it charged on the side, there wouldn't be some type of stand or something that it could sit and charge off of. So at the end of the day, you're going to have to interact with a cable to get it to charge. You're going to have to pick up a cable or... I mean, no one's going to let just the MagSafe looking charge puck sit on the desk and then fold the headphones up and let it charge that way. Like, you're going to have to touch it regardless.
What if there was a third party accessory that was like molded and held the little puck where it needed to be and you just dropped it on there and it just right on
I wouldn't
on there?
Use it. Third party accessory wouldn't bother. But
okay.
I just mean, I know that it will have wireless technology, but I think it needs to. If it needs to cater to pros more, so they need some type of wired pass through for audio engineers and stuff like that. Otherwise, this is just going to be an incredibly fancy iPhone accessory that most people probably won't buy because it's too expensive. And what is it going to have over AirPods Pro? That's my biggest like, because active noise cancellation was the primary reason I thought over ears had some advantages over earbuds. But what is it? Just battery life? That's it? They just have a really good battery life?
Yo, you ever notice how sexy Drew's hair is right now?
That was not the question, Randy.
Yes.
I was lost in the I don't know how it looks on the iPhone camera that's set up right here, but looking at it, I'm like, my God.
That's enough Joe Exotic impression from you today.
I want my hair to be as wavy and voluptuous and volume and
voluptuous.
You weren't listening to a word I just said.
I was lost in your eyes.
I'm not just a piece of meat, Randy. I'm a human being.
I am more than a piece of meat. No, okay. To answer your question, no. The answer is no.
Okay. You want to repeat that question, Randy, just so we're clear?
I thought he was going to say no to a completely different subject. To answer your question, no. Air power shouldn't come back. Wasn't paying attention at all.
No. So I was paying attention. The thing is...
oh, sure.
Well, no. Before I end, Laura, just hang on, guys.
You're
sounding like that little toddler.
Listen, Linda. Listen to me,
so
Linda.
So we have a party with third-party accessories helping to support the... How about this? Meet me halfway, Drew. It can have the connector if you wanted to. It could be wireless charging. It can have a stand. You can have the Apple out-of-box experience, which comes with a 5-watt brick. And you plug it in, and then there's your Apple experience. Or there's a way that it's open up, so that way third-party accessories can kind of come in and help enhance it in a way. I want it to be completely unique away from the other overhead headphones that they have. Because they're trying to – if they're bringing out another product line, if they kill off the Beats, okay, fine. Sure, I can see that happening. But if it has the branding of AirPods – It's becoming more and more wireless in every capacity. I understand the need for a wire. Get rid of the wire. Here's where I will say meet me halfway thing. I can't use those headphones and do audio engineering if it's wireless. I can't. Mm. I need to have
right. That's my point. Exactly.
I need to have a lossless connectivity, like a connector. I need to use a prong that's This is not 3.5. This is the
quarter
bigger
inch.
One. A quarter inch. I've
used quarter inch headphones before.
Yeah, I need it. You need to if you're going to do pro work on it, I need to have that capability. However, because it's a it's an accessory and it's a symbol, it's a status symbol, I absolutely am for the idea of having completely wireless, the same way Bose and Beats and everything else will go.
We don't need HomePod for your head, basically.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
It'll start at $999 plus a stand of $450.
How they market it really depends on how they're going to push that product. If you're going to make it a pro product for pro users, for pro applications, it needs to have the wire. It absolutely does.
If it's rumored to be called Studio...
It needs
to
it.
Me.
It needs it.
That's an indicator that it needs a wire of some kind, and it has to do stuff that can beat AirPods Pro. And if it has to be better sound quality than AirPods Pro, it's not going to help if it's just wireless only. Like, it's good for listening to Apple Music on with your iPhone. Like, that can't be the only selling point. Like,
I agree.
It has to lean into the Mac market, I think, a lot more, which is why the AirPods Studio should have a port for the same reason Macs still have a headphone jack. In 2020.
Mm. I concur.
You still got it.
But
okay.
Give it the ability to be completely free wireless with charging.
Yes, it'll have the option.
Yeah.
If you want to use it as an iPhone accessory, you can.
For sure.
You can use it Bluetooth 5.0, Wi-Fi, Siri, and all that. It'll have all the cool AirPods-y things. I like that verb.
AirPods-y
adjective.
Things. AirPods-y do you think
things.
They'll make the cushion the same softness like that Bose and they tried to do with Beats? You
yeah, yeah. It'll feel really nice.
I hope so. I hope it's better than Beats.
The AirPods already have two ways of charging them.
Yeah.
As I slam this on
oh
the
my god.
Desk.
Wow.
Oh, my god.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Shattered the desk there.
I thought those days were behind you, Nick.
I dropped it. I'm sorry, guys.
What am I supposed to
AirPods
do
have.
AirPods are. I don't know.
What were you going to say? Two ways of charging.
Nobody likes me anymore.
There we go.
Okay, bye, Nick.
Bye, Nick. All right,
we'll
anyway,
see you
Drew,
next week.
Now that the men are here.
Do you think.
Hey, ouch.
Oh, married man.
The AirPods have two ways of charging, though. You can charge them inductively with Qi, or you can plug them into
or
a lightning wired. Cable. I don't really use the Qi charger much anymore because lightning's just convenient, I guess.
Ew.
I know. Everyone.
Guilty. Use lightning a couple times.
It's like, it's just there. It's just sitting there, plug it in, forget
it's
about it.
It's because Pixel
never
Stand
seen
doesn't work with the AirPods 2 very well. It works with AirPods Pro because it's tall enough. But
look how
these,
dirty this port is.
Well,
you can't see it, but look how dirty. AirPods Pro has never seen lightning, ever.
I don't use lightning on the pros, but go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, so I would imagine that with the studios, there'd be two ways to connect them or to charge them.
Okay.
One wireless Qi stand, maybe, and another one with a USB-C cable so Randy can plug it directly into the back of his iMac and get full 40 gigabit a second audio from Logic directly into his eardrums, and he will be very happy.
Okay.
Man, that felt
fair
nice.
I'm very curious about the design, how they're going to advertise it, like with a demo
for
it.
Huh?
No, like there's only been one little iOS 14 icon that's very vague and not very specific. So it's a same with AirTags. It's for sure happening, but we have no clue what they look like. It's going to be kind of interesting to see when they finally launch. There should be a fair amount of surprises at the next event, but it will, of course, be all online, which makes me wonder, considering we always get an iPhone event in September, that means we will get an iPhone event less than 3 months after Dub.
Ooh.
So will it not be it probably won't be an in-person event either, right?
I don't think the
depends
economy
on how
will be
goes.
Well, I don't think nationally will be in that phase of the recovery, to be honest.
So it'll be no in-person Apple events this year at all. Both events will be online.
That is very possible. I think that will most likely be the case, cuz even if we
I'll say
go,
likely, yeah.
Even if we go to the new state of quote unquote new normal, I don't think it's still at the discretion.
Events
the
will not
level.
Be essential.
And even if they were, I don't think it's a good PR. I don't think it's good.
Apple
it's like,
events
look
are totally essential, folks. Come on.
Can you imagine they just do
website refreshes for everything, even dub and iPhone. It's like, oh, by the way, here's the iPhone.
Oh, God. No. That would be such a nightmare for me.
To save costs,
creator, we just have to,
on these trying times.
I got to go through the website now and take screenshots and try to figure out all the things they
we
announced.
We need to save costs because we haven't been able to be at full functioning. And so in order to keep the company profitable, we decided just to do website refreshes. Here's everything. Wow.
Oof. Yeah, I hope they don't do that.
It would take the fun
actually
out of
for
it. Like, there's almost like a magical element of having an Apple event.
Disneyland.
There will still be events. They just will not be in person, which we don't go to anyway. So,
well,
for the most part.
I love seeing, like, okay, Steve Jobs Theater is legit on my, like, bucket list of places to visit one day. Like, I want
we're
to see this
there.
Architecture. I want to see the architecture in person. I don't care if it's in relation to an Apple event or anything. I just want to admire the architecture and the thought that went behind that room. And every time they have the hands-on demo area, I could care less about the stupid iPhone that Marquez has. I am looking at the background, looking at the ceiling, looking at the lighting, looking at the beautiful, you know, evenly circumferenced room.
You show
that
some
in.
Respect to Marquez Keith Brownlee. You hear me? You show that man respect.
It's Kilimanjaro. I
please
enjoy
come
his
on
content,
the podcast.
Not for the phone, but for the room that he's in. Uh-huh. But yeah.
But to be a fun fact for you, I know a guy that worked on the Steve Jobs Theater very, very closely, by the way. My friend Ross, who is in the Air Force. And his brother is my brother-in-law, because he's married to my sister. Their dad is a full-time for 30 years, over 30 years now. He's been an architect. And he designed the staircase at the Steve Jobs Theater. He worked on he talked a lot about it. He also worked on Google's headquarters. He worked on a bunch of Silicon Valley.
Go change your underwear, Nick.
It's not that exciting. I mean, you're freaking out like I know a guy, but you designed the artwork that was in the iPhone event that was on stage at the theater. Come on, that's a bigger deal.
We are in the presence of royalty and luxury and celebrities. My goodness.
We've basically been there at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we were there.
Basically.
We have been represented in the theater. Our legacy has been forever imprinted on there.
Honestly.
Yeah,
every time
cannot
I've
change
seen one
that
of those, I've seen it on Twitter
iPhone
a couple
commercial.
Times. I've seen it on Twitter. Like our podcast logo going by in the iPhone 11 commercials, which they're still doing on Twitter. And it just
they can never change that. It's always been there.
Forevermore.
So 50 years from now, it'll still be there.
We basically work for Apple is what I'm trying to
exactly.
say.
Exactly. Basically, guys.
Hey, that's cool, though, Drew. I didn't know his
yeah.
dad was an artist. I think that's pretty cool. Just, hey, a contractor. Who's
I mean,
been,
he works from home. It does all his stuff online.
Is he independent or is he part of a bigger company or a contract company of sorts?
It's a bigger company, but it's not like it's not a building. He works at home.
Yeah.
Like just in his office. And he works on all kinds of different companies. And though the Apple and Google ones were the ones he brought up to me because
does he work for BCJ?
I don't know the exact name, but okay. It could be. I don't know. Something. I just know that he was talking about
this.
This
is a family friendly show, Nick. And please don't use those letters.
Stands for Bohine, Sidewalski, and Jackson. It's a design.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
explaining a lot of the.
That rolls Apple. Right off the tongue.
It does. Yeah. That's why BCJ is way better.
He was talking to me about the complexities of how big of a headache it was for the design. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like
that
Apple.
Sounds like
that's
Apple,
why
yeah.
I want to go see this in person. Like, I don't care about the Apple
He wants
event.
To, too. He said he wanted to take a trip down there to see it, but that's not the Steve Jobs Theater isn't open to the public. So
exactly. Well, he designed it and he couldn't even see it?
Mm-mm.
That's not
There's
how
not
it
a
works,
pass
Nick.
If you worked on
Nick,
it.
Do you think the people who built Building 2 at the old campus where they do all the designs, you think that they were just allowed to go, I want to look at my building, see how it looks. Ooh, what are you working on over here? Is that iPhone 17?
I don't care about the products, guys. I'm not talking about the products. I'm not talking about
no,
meeting Tim.
But what
I'm talking about is the secrecy.
I'm talking about the secrecy.
Alone in Steve Jobs Theater atrium is enough. That's all I want.
You have to open up Apple Maps and do the 3D tour, and that's the only way you could do it.
That's not good enough. Not good enough.
AR glasses will get good enough that they'll cover your whole vision.
AR glasses will just send you there.
Mm-hmm. So we just need to start a movement. Hashtag get Nick to Steve Jobs Theater.
Ooh, here's a prediction. I want to see if you guys agree with me, because a lot of people were saying that I was over-exaggerating the feature of 120 hertz on the Pro iPhones.
Okay.
And I'm not, by the way. Those people are just wrong, objectively and factually. I want to predict the ranking of this year's iPhone sales, okay, not counting the SE. Let's just talk the 12.
Okay.
I think the one that'll sell the best is the 12 Max, 6.1-inch regular iPhone. Then after that, it'll be the regular iPhone 12, 5.4-inch model. Then after that, 12 Pro Max. And then at the very bottom, 12 Pro will sell the least, the 6.1-inch 12 okay. Pro.
So
will
I just
not have enough selling points.
I wrote it. I typed it out as you said it, just so I can make sure I understood. 12 Max, the not the Pro. 12 Max, 12, 12 Pro Max, Pro. So the max of that category will be the best of those two lines, but the one that's not a Pro will be the best selling. 12 Max, 12, 12 Pro Max, 12 Pro. Okay, gotcha.
That's how I think it'll go.
Go ahead, Nick. I need time to digest this for a second.
Okay. I think that big phones are popular, and I think that's mm-hmm. pretty right, Drew. The cheap one's going to be much more popular than the big expensive one. So I could totally see that happening.
Especially that they all have OLED.
Yeah, true. What are the differences going to be between aluminum and steel? Is basically just
refresh rate.
What the 12 Pro will have over the regular 12 Max will be LiDAR, telephoto, stainless steel, frosted glass, and maybe 120 hertz. It's still maybe. It's not confirmed yet. It's like they're working on it, but they're not completely satisfied with the results, so it's still a maybe at this point. But even if it does get 120 hertz, I still don't think it's going to sell great.
Have you had time to digest, Randy, or should I keep
talking? Haven't given your answer yet.
I think I agree with
you.
That's
to digest.
My answer. I don't think that there's really any other way for that to go. Argument could be made that people like smaller, like the what is it, 5.8 inch small 5.4. cheap one, 5.4 inch iPhone 11.
It'll be really small, 12. But it'll still be a new iPhone, so people will see it as
I don't see
the
that
new
being
one,
popular.
And it's cheap.
I don't see that one being popular.
I don't think it'll be the most popular, but I think it'll do better than both the Pros.
Okay, I got mine.
Okay. Go ahead, Randy. Whew, okay.
Mine is different.
Okay, good.
Slightly. I make one adjustment to it. 12 Max... Let me say it like this. Mine's adjusted.
No one will buy anything else.
Well, just, no. Just that's it. Done. 12 Max. I'm basing mine based off of cost value. So this is where I'm hesitating, but I think it's going to be 12 Max, 12 Pro, 12, 12 Pro Max. I think the most expensive one is going to be the least popular because it is going to be the most expensive. So 12 Pro Max will be at the very bottom. I think 12 Pro will be second to the top. I think 12 Max being the cheaper end of the bigger model might do better than 12 Pro. But one thing that I feel pretty confident on, unless, you know, what I'm leaning in is 12 Pro Max will sell the least because it's going to be the most expensive. That much
Would it change your mind to know that the 11 Pro Max outsold the 11 Pro?
The 11 Pro Max outsold the 11 Pro. No, because if you're going into Pro territory, then I could see it leaning. And that's where I was going to maybe put 12 Max 12 as well. And then I would have just swapped 12 Pro Max and 12 Pro that you had on yours. When you enter the Pro category, you're talking to a different consumer market. You're not talking to the business enterprises that will contract the phones out. You're not talking to the person who's just up for an upgrade of sorts. You're talking to people who are passionate about it, and I think those will lean into it, but I think it's still pretty much a niche market. And if they can choose between the two features and the only difference is size, I think more people would go towards the 11 or the 12 Pro than the 12 Pro Max strictly for cost value.
Even though that's not what happened this year.
Yes, because now you have four options, and I'm looking at it from a size cost point of view, and
I guess what the only thing is that if you're presenting this, and I will include the iPhone SE just because I want to include that demographic of people for this year. I think cost is very – people are very cost sensitive this year because either they're out of a job or whatever. Just the way our environment is today, I don't think the most expensive phone, which is the 12 Pro Max allegedly, will be I don't think it's going to pass last place. I think it's going to stay in last place.
Most people are buying on monthly, Randy. And so the difference between – it's dollars. A few dollars a month is the difference between the cheap one and the expensive one.
But I don't
think that'll stop many people from overspending.
So your theory, so I can understand you correctly, is that this because we're having a 6.1-inch Pro this year, which we haven't had in the past, that will eat into the sales of the Pro Max category now. People who have the 11 Pro Max or the 10S Max will opt for the cheaper, smaller 12 Pro, and the 12 Pro Max sales will suffer because of that.
They will opt to the 12 Pro or 12 Max because you're not losing anything when you go from 10S or 11. You only gain something when you go to 12 Pro Max. You gain the LiDAR. That's the only physical thing that someone would be interested in. I don't think people care about refresh rate like we do. I don't think they care about stainless steel, and I don't think they care about frosted glass. I think they care about battery, cost, and efficiency out of the whole thing, the whole experience, the whole user experience of stuff like that. LiDAR's
average
cool.
consumers, yes.
Well, no, I even think
the pro market's different, I think.
I would say even for – I would argue even pro market only because that LiDAR right now today is like 5G, kind of pointless. It doesn't really do anything. It's kind of gimmicky. I don't think this year's the year for LiDAR, to be honest, to tell you the truth.
I don't think LiDAR will be a huge selling point at all. But my point is because the 12 Max is the same size, same OLED panel, has the A14 chip, the thinner bezels, the updated Face ID, 5G support and all that, and it's $750, no one's going to want to opt for the 12 Pro if it's the almost identical phone for $250 more and all they get is stainless steel LiDAR telephoto.
Yes.
And that will result in the only people going for the Pro getting something that the 12 Max can't offer, which is a 6.7-inch display. So that's why people would rather go with the Pro Max, because the only reason you're going with the Pro is because it has something that the 12s don't. And the Pro Max will have something the 12s don't, whereas the 12 Pro, very, very little things it has to offer over the way cheaper $750 12.
Yes.
12 Max will sell like crazy. Everyone's going to buy that one.
I think 12 Max is going to be the best-selling phone for this lineup. I think that's what we – so, yeah, I put it. Yeah, that's what we have in common. 12 Max
we all
will
agree
be,
with that.
Yeah, 12 yeah. Max will be undisputed number
confused.
One victor. That's okay. I wrote it out. We agree that the best-selling phone will be the best-selling phone. I just disagree about 12 Pro Max. I think it's going to be the least just because I already explained. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to disagree with Randy because he disagrees with me all the time. The 12 Pro Max will outsell all other phones and will become the best-selling smartphone since the iPhone 6 Plus.
Hey, I got a question for you guys.
Sounds believable.
Just to end it on a lighter note, imagine you're holding your iPad. Actually, this is for everybody, audience included. If you have an iPad Pro with Apple Pencil, this is a question for you. Imagine you're holding it in portrait mode, okay? And you have your Apple Pencil attached. Okay. You have your Apple Pencil attached to it, yes? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you is the Apple Pencil pointed up or down?
Down.
Up.
Down.
The correct answer is up.
Up?
No, it's not.
Down.
Because when you are in portrait or landscape,
up,
it needs it.
Up. Up. Go ahead.
The
you're
fitness
wrong. Because when you pick it up, Randy, when you pick it up, when it's down, you're already ready to use it. When it's up, you have to grab it, flip it around, and then use it. But when it's down,
no,
you're
just wrong.
Ready to use it. No, you're wrong.
Go to apple.com and go look at iPad. Well,
who cares about the marketing? My gosh, Randy.
I like how this was the whole – Randy wasn't even asking a question. He was just going to point out something. The correct answer is –
like, how do you guys do it? There's the right
Damn.
Way and the wrong way. And
no, Nick is
does
right.
it the wrong way.
Nick is right.
So why – so, Randy, is your reasoning just because of the marketing images?
Because
I would say there is no right or wrong.
My reasoning,
so it's on the right side of the iPad when it's held in portrait mode. It's on the wrong side of the iPad.
I would say the reason why I have it up instead of down is that worst case scenario in that configuration, if something happens to the pencil, if it just lost magnetic whatever, it goes down, the bottom of the impact that it makes contact with would be less damaging than the tip.
On the Apple Pencil end of the sight, it is going down, not up.
Oh.
It doesn't matter. Right. But when you're holding it, it's more practical to have
it
down.
But if it did, Apple has it down on the Apple Pencil section.
Congratulations, Apple, you're wrong.
Wrong.
You're wrong. Okay,
let me
quite
see if
faintly,
it changes
folks.
When looking at the iPad Pro
These
section.
People Man, with their so iPads.
Yeah, it's also down.
Oh, well, yeah, they're wrong.
It works either way, though. That's the beauty of it.
I know.
It does. And
it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
There's never one way to do it. Well, this really fits well with a question that we got from a caller asking what the best budget iPad is.
So a friend of mine who has not been much of a fan of Apple has recently decided to get an iPad. First reason is for drawing, and she is thinking about purchasing an Apple Pencil alongside of it. She also would like to use the GarageBand app. It's important is it has to be affordable. As far as I could recommend, it's the iPad Air or the budget iPad. I'm curious to know what you guys would recommend.
Okay. Thank you so much for...
What do you guys think?
Well, obviously the 12.9-inch 4th generation iPad Pro 1TB LTE in space gray.
They should buy Nick's old iPad for an extremely affordable price.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
I think... Oh, man, these options suck. If I were them, I would recommend something like a refurbished iPad Pro from the Apple Store page. None of the options are that cheap right now because they're all high storage configuration. Everyone who's trading in their iPad trades in the high storage configuration. But I don't love the budget iPad because of the non-laminated display and the fact that it's still rocking an A10 chip, which longevity-wise concerns me a little bit. I would lean more towards iPad Air, even though that's more expensive. Look for a deal. It's been out for a while. But they're also about to refresh the iPad Air, like, possibly later this year. So, that's why I would feel better if you got, like, a refurbished 10.5-inch iPad Pro somewhere, or maybe older. Maybe a 9.7-inch iPad Pro with Apple Pencil or something.
Oh. So, you only say no to iPad because of the non-laminated.
And A10 chip.
Okay.
A10's pretty old.
Yeah,
especially for iPad OS.
But that's quite a price drop, though, for a brand new, still. I think this
it'd be a lot
cheaper.
If
you're not buying an iPad Pro, I think this is a bad time to buy an iPad, to tell you the truth. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't think any of these are good. I would wait.
There's too many new iPads coming out.
If you can't wait, I would take a page from Drew's book and say certified refurbished then if you really can't. I don't know. If you're too bougie about it, then I guess iPad Air. But realistically, I don't think it's a good time to buy. I'm looking at it. Yeah, I don't think it's a good time to buy any of them, to tell you the truth, except iPad Pro.
Budget iPad has been around for 8 months. iPad Air has been around for over a year, so... Both of them are due for a refresh somewhat
soon.
For
sure, yeah.
Probably new iPad at the September event of some kind. I'm not sure if it'll be the Air or the budget iPad, but they've done a budget iPad every year since 2017, so more than likely they'll do one again this year, but not sure what they'll do to it.
If you're not in the Apple ecosystem, to the caller with a friend who's not Apple friendly or whatever, if you're not in the ecosystem, I would say whatever you do, regardless of how you do it, don't get the 64 gig if you're going to be doing GarageBand and you're going to draw and all that stuff.
Agreed.
If you're not buying Apple services like iCloud and all that stuff, just max out your configuration. Not max out, but don't get the 64 gig. So that goes or for iPad. just the regular iPad, don't get 32 gig. Get the 128. If you do iPad Air, get the 256. iPad Mini, my goodness, I forgot that's a thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Don't get the base storage. If you get the base storage, my fear is that you'll run out of – my fear is that you're going to like it so much and you're going to use a lot of it that you're going to actually run out of storage very quickly, and you can't update that. So I would say just don't get base storage however you go about it, even if you do certified refurbish. I would recommend waiting until we get an update outside of the Pro models, just because it's now, in my opinion, not a good time to buy.
Mm. Okay.
That's my recommendation.
What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty partial. I love the budget iPad. I had one for a good number of years. Not years, I guess, months, but almost a year. I had it for a while. I took lots of notes on it in school. I realized that air gap in the non-laminated display is frustrating for you, Drew. But at the end of the day, you're saving so much money and getting, you know, what does the budget iPad have? Does the iPad, budget iPad has what, an 8? A12 chip?
A10.
Oh, the budget iPad still only has an A10? The 7th gen?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Forget what I was going to say. Yeah. I thought it was like an A12.
That was why
something.
I said non-laminated is one thing, but the A10, I don't think we'll get as many years of support as an A12 or whatever they refresh the Air with. I think the refreshed Air might still have an A12, though.
If you get the iPad, the Mini, that's an A12. Cheaper.
Maybe the Mini's a good option. Laminated display, A12 chip, $400. Still got Apple Pencil support. It's cute. It's small.
So the only difference between that one and iPad Air is you're saving $100. You know what? Yeah, Mini.
Yeah,
the Mini
is looking pretty good right now.
I liked the Mini when I tried it. I remember using it for a week or so, and I really liked it. The only thing I didn't like was that it had a home button and Touch ID. And that's why I'm really excited for the rumors going around about the refreshed iPad Mini coming out. Because if they made an iPad Pro looking iPad Mini and it had 120 hertz and USB-C and it was thin and it had like a 9-inch display, I'll just ditch the iPhone. I'll just go with that.
Hi there, guys.
Don't need an iPhone. It's not that big. It's like slightly bigger than an iPhone.
Yeah, hey guys. I'd just like to make sure that
who takes calls anymore, Nick? Grow up. It's Google Voice.
An iPad Mini is what an iPhone Pro Max looks like in Randy's hands to you.
Oh my god.
This is true.
You of all people should be excited for the iPad Mini. You could probably use it as a phone. I bet you could use it with one hand.
I used to be able to. I used to put my iPad Mini inside my pocket. I'd one hand mode. iPad Mini was great. I kind of miss it. So maybe
take back what I said. Sell your iPad Pro. Get a space gray because of the black bezels. iPad Mini, and just use that for fun as a phone. iPad Mini challenge. Let's go.
iPad Mini
I
challenge.
See it.
I'm about it.
I'd have to get an old Apple Pencil though, and that sounds extremely counterintuitive.
I have an old one, but I can't find it. I don't know where it is.
Well, that's because
please.
I didn't sell it.
Mine's right over here in the drawer that I want to dig out, but I do have it.
And who's the minimalist? Already.
It's a collector's item.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening or watching, and we will see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.